Scott Berg was 33 years old when he first interviewed Katharine Hepburn for a magazine article. He was soon making extended visits to her country home, and she was introducing him as her biographer. Why would the four-time Academy Award winner, famous for her love of privacy, so quickly befriend a young writer?
When I met her, she was 75. She had just been in a near-fatal car accident. She had really banged up her foot badly. So for the first time, I think she was slightly immobilized. And I think she was beginning to review some of the pieces of her life. And into her house walks someone who, for a living, takes the pieces of people's lives, examines them, and puts them in some book form. And I think she basically wanted that done for her.
In a stage and screen career that spanned seven decades, Katharine Hepburn carved out an imposing image for herself as a strong-willed woman who spoke her mind with wit and assurance. Here she is in Desk Set, a 1957 romantic comedy she made with her frequent co-star, Spencer Tracy.
Tell me, Miss Watson, what training have you had for your job?
Well, a college education, and after that, a library course at Columbia. I was going to take a PhD, but I ran out of money. Is this an interview? I mean, I would have had my hair done or something.
No, just getting the vital statistics.
Katharine Hepburn's spirited performances had made her Scott Berg's favorite film star long before he met her in 1983. Once he got to know her, he came to appreciate other sides of her character as well.
What I think I found was just a tender side that she really didn't reveal to most people, a really generous soul. But make no mistake about it, I was always on very good behavior around Katharine Hepburn. She sort of shamed you into doing things. I mean, my first time when I arrived at her country house in Connecticut, and it was a cold April afternoon. I mean, the sun was just going down. And there's Katharine Hepburn out in the Long Island Sound swimming. And she came in and she said, well, you really should go in, you know. And I said, it seems a little cold. It seems crazy to go in. But, you know, and there I'm looking at a 75-year-old woman with a bad foot, and she did it. So I figured, okay, I better do it.
Of the many memories that you talk about in this book, is there any one that you especially treasure?
Well, I have one or two. One was my first weekend with her when she roped me into a Parcheesi game in which she spent an hour and a half basically just berating me as a total idiot because I couldn't play Parcheesi as well as she and the rest of her family could. But I think the one memory I always seem to fall back on is we were one day driving back to her house in Connecticut, and she had just received an invitation from a fashion institute, and they were naming her the woman of the century or something. And I said, oh, my God, I think they probably meant to send this to Audrey Hepburn, not Katharine Hepburn. And she got so mad at me, she just took her ice cream cone and just shoved it right in my face.
But the friendship survived, and over the years, A. Scott Berg believes Katharine Hepburn talked to him about subjects she hadn't before addressed in such depth, even in her autobiography.
I think there were just certain aspects of stories that she didn't necessarily want in print while she was still alive. So I think she was perhaps a little more revealing with me, and therefore my book is a little more revealing than she was able to be in her own book.
Her older brother Tom had hanged himself as a teenager. How do you think she was affected by his death?
Well, I think very sharply, and I think that's a good example of a story that was dealt with differently in her book and in my book. She found her brother hanging from a rafter. For years, the family lore and what she really put out there was that it was probably an accident. What she told me over the course of the years was that she believed it wasn't an accident, that he was probably suffering at least anxiety, perhaps depression. And in her mind, it was an intentional suicide. And, gee, what kind of effect does that have on a 13-year-old girl cutting her brother down from a noose, basically? And I think it kind of doubled her energy in a way. It was almost as though she were living for two people.
Now, you also write about her love affairs, most famously with Spencer Tracy. How was it that she was able to put up with the separations, the infidelities, and the fact that he remained married to someone else?
Well, I think it was an arrangement she was happy to live with. First of all, she was madly in love with Spencer Tracy, and I think she realized that this would be the first and maybe the only relationship in her life where she would truly give more than she necessarily would get. As it happens, I think Spencer Tracy loved her back a lot, but that didn't matter that much to her. She never wanted to marry Spencer Tracy. She made it very clear to him. They were very happy with the arrangement as it was.
What was your final meeting like?
My final meeting was 4 weeks before her death, and it was painful because for the first time I could see that Katharine Hepburn was about to die. Literally, the light was out in her eyes. She looked more frail than I had ever seen her, but she was still very much Katharine Hepburn. Her hair was done up great. She still had the great cheekbones. She still, you know, had a modicum of strength. And it was a very sad occasion for me. I told her how much she meant to me. And when I kissed her goodbye, I was saying goodbye. There was no question in my mind about that.
A. Scott Berg says he hopes Kate Remembered pays tribute to Katharine Hepburn's memory and lets readers experience the pleasure of her company for themselves. For Coast to Coast, I'm Nancy Beardsley.